Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
A good morning to you, Last Adam Tabernacle, and good morning to everybody listening in with us. You are welcome to today's fellowship, and I thank you all for joining us. My name is Caroline Rusinje. I'm both delighted and honored to be sharing with you again. Today, I'm going to share with you on how to stay in God's will while we wait for the return of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We have been hearing about this return from our pastor and from the prayer ministry, and I would like to believe that the messages are helping us to ready ourselves with great expectation. When I was new in seeking Christ, this was one of the topics that used to get me very jittery. Whenever the tribulation and rapture are mentioned, I would get filled with worry about whether I would qualify to see my Lord face to face. I would picture a scenario where my sins would be displayed on a large screen for the entire world to see. And in self-judgment, the movie in my mind would end with me feeling defeated, since there was no way I would make the cut to the heavenly party after the tribulation. Thankfully, I have since read the scriptures and I've learned that that does not have to be my fate. I truly hope that we all know this, and I pray that today's message will bless you, especially if you're in a place where you feel anxious about your position in Christ. If you feel anxious or insecure whenever the return of our Lord is mentioned, I would like to encourage you with the knowledge of God's love for us. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Take note that God loved us while we were still of the world. He chose us first, even before we knew him. So he loves us, he loves you, he loves me, and he does everything from a place of love, because that is who he is. This scripture says he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that we may have everlasting life. So if you are in that place of anxiety or discouragement, if you are worried that you will not make the cut, I would like to remind you that God took the first step and loved us to call sinners to repentance, and that when we believe in him, that is his Son, we choose everlasting life. Now, that love is still there. God does not change. So the love is still there, and we still can make that choice. We still can choose everlasting life over anxiety and over uncertainty. So today I'm going to share practical steps and outcomes of that choice, so that we will not be anxious or insecure, but we'll be sure as we wait, we are still walking in our Father's will. I will draw most of my sharing from Romans 12, so please open your Bibles with me and let us dig in. Now, one way for us to be sure we are walking in God's will, Romans 12 says we should present our bodies as a living sacrifice. I'll read it. I'm reading from NKJV. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." As Christians, we are freed from sin. We are no longer slaves to sin. So presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice means giving up things, giving up activities, giving up people and pretty much anything that is not God's best for our lives. It means making a daily decision and devotion to only do what is pleasing to God. It means that we submit our bodies and everything within and without to the authority of God. It means that my ears and my tongue my dressing and my sexuality, my work and my behavior are all aimed at being holy and acceptable to God. I will leave that at that. I'll go to the next one. Another way that we can be sure we are in God's will or we are still in God's will is not to be conformed to this world. Still, as Christians, our practices should be different from the world's practices. That goes from how we handle conflict in marriage, to how we seek success at work, to what kind of media we watch, to the company we keep. In all these things, we ought to guard our hearts by obeying God's laws, even when it is tough or uncomfortable. Sometimes how we behave will ruffle feathers in the world or in our environment, in the people around us, and that is okay. We are not here to fit in, we are here to be the light. And light does not at any point in its flight conform to darkness. So as the light, as people who are called to be the light of the world, we are not to conform to the world or to the darkness, but we should shine through and, you know, stand out as children of God. Another thing is also to renew our minds. Now, our minds are shaped by our upbringing, by our environment, and our experiences. We are really a summation of both what we have been taught and what we have experienced for ourselves throughout our lives. So as a result, renewing our minds is a difficult task because we're really, in renewing our minds, we are trying to undo what we have been for the last so many years of our lives and now trying to become someone new, someone we are not even sure we know how to be. So it's difficult in many ways and it's not something that is going to be done overnight. So it's a process and a long-term process. It's something that will keep happening. There'll be no time where I'll renew my mind to a point where it settles and I say, okay, this is it. There's no more renewing happening. The more we seek God, the deeper we delve into God, the deeper we are renewed in our mind. Now, the best way I know for one to renew their mind is to consistently meditate on the Word of God. The Word of God has a way of changing you from the inside out, changing your habits, changing your preferences, changing your mental and physical company, and separating you from the man you do not want to be, and shaping you into the man you are seeking to be. So if you want to renew your mind, consistently, continuously read the Word of God, meditate on it and purpose to do what it asks you to do. And as time goes by, you will realize that some of those things have changed. You are not the person you used to be, and you're becoming someone you didn't even know you could be. And that's all part of renewal of the mind and of us staying in God's will. If you want to stay in God's will, another thing you need to do is not think highly of yourself. Thinking highly of oneself is a symptom of a proud heart. People who think highly of themselves are quick to judge or criticize others in the way they live their lives. So if you find yourself judging parents on how they are raising their children or thinking that people should live their lives the way you live yours, please note that you think highly of yourself and you're the host of a proud spirit. And this is something that happens to us very easily, or in my experience, it's something that can happen very easily because you've been reading the Word of God and you feel that you know better and you feel like your mind has been renewed and you're now living a life that is submitted to Christ. It's very easy to judge other people who you feel are not in the place you are or who you were with before and now have kind of left behind, you know, so to speak. So it's very easy for you to find yourself judging or criticizing people. But I need you to know that that is pride and that is you thinking yourself higher than those people. Now, this is not to make you feel bad, but verse 3 of Romans 12 actually says we should not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly. So we are free to decide what to eat or to drink or how we parent our children and how we run our work and our relationships, but we should not assume to make those decisions for other people because we are not any better than them. And in many ways, we may actually be worse than them, but because we think of ourselves higher, we tend to think that, you know, they are worse than us. So embrace sober judgment in all things. You are not the standard for anything. We are not the standard for anything. The Bible is the ultimate standard. So align yourself and your life to living the way the Bible calls you to live. And do not make yourself a class monitor or headmistress or judge for how other people are living. Number 5 of how we can be sure we are still in God's will during this period is to serve God with our spiritual gifts. Verse 4 of Romans 12 still says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." That is, let us use the gifts to serve God. For me, serving God is one of the major ways I have remained alert to God's will. This is not restricted to serving at church, but goes out to how I do my work, how I serve my neighbors, how I honor my parents and the elders in my community, how I share the resources God has trusted me with, and so on. So because I'm alert to ways in which I can serve God in even the small ways, in how I do my housework in my house and in how I relate with people, it keeps me alert and awake to make sure that I'm actually walking in God's will and to make sure that I'm serving Him even in very small, minor, minute, and like mindless things. Now, we each have different gifts and we are to use them to build the body of Christ. So ask God how you can use the gifts He gave and gives you to build others up, starting with a ministry nearest to you. It is easy for us, especially for us who desire ministry, you know, you want to minister to big numbers. So it's very easy to want to serve God in those bigger capacities and neglect the church around us, such as our spouses, our children, our workmates, and our neighbors at home. I believe that in being diligent with these close-at-home ministries, we receive training for the bigger ministries that we desire. So whichever way you are serving God in this season, give Him your best, be diligent, do it like you would the bigger ministry, however small you feel or think that the ministry you're now serving is. Romans 12 also calls us to hate what is evil and cling to what is good. So as Christians, we are not to make excuses for stuff like abortion, homosexuality, adultery, or any other sin that seems to be settling in around us. I must mention here that parents have been known to classify sin, asking their children not to do this one thing. So I'll give you an example. A parent whose son is going away to school focuses on teaching them against homosexuality to the point of saying, "You can do any other thing, but please do not become a homosexual." Now, in the case of a daughter, a mother may say, "Please, in all you do, never get pregnant outside marriage." Now, this demonizes this one sin, making the other sins seem okay or not too bad. So the child who we are training up is prone to relax around the other sins as long as they do not participate in this one or two sins that they have been warned not to indulge in. I would like to remind you that all sin is sin, and adultery is as sinful as murder. So let us not categorize sin, but in fact hate all of it individually and collectively. And as we teach the people under us, our children, the people we are guardians over, the people in our close-to-home ministries that I mentioned, as we teach those people, let's be mindful not to misguide them that some sin is worse than other sin, maybe because of how society sees it or because of how we were raised. But let's be mindful to tell them that all sin is sin, and indulging in one is as bad as indulging in another. And while we are called to love people, as we should, we are instructed to hate evil and cling to what is righteous. And one way of practicing this is through our daily conversations. Another way is through our choices, you know, the choices that we make every day, even if those choices are shunned. And even if we ourselves are shunned for what we believe, we must stand up for what is right, for what is righteous, for what is holy. Now, there are many other lessons in Romans 12, such as being patient in tribulation, being fervent in prayer, sharing with the Lord's people who are in need, living in harmony with one another, and never paying back evil with more evil. So please read the rest of it yourself and pick out as many lessons as you can. The summation of today's lesson really is we should obey God's instruction, because blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Jesus said in Matthew 7, "Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand." And we all know how that house ends. The rain pelts it, there is flooding and wind, and finally the house falls. So if we do not obey God's word, we have no foundation, and when the winds come, we shall not stand. The beauty of God, though, is that he promises to instruct us and teach us in the way we should go. He actually says he will guide us with his eye. I believe that with this instruction and guidance, step by step, you know, being instructed, being taught, being watched over with his very own eye, it will be easier and a joy for us to follow his leading. Of course, there will be days when the winds shake us, and there'll be days when we fall, but that should not discourage us. We all have a few areas to work on. Like I said, renewal is a process. So let us set our hearts on things above. Let us seek first the kingdom of God, and let us allow God to correct us at every step, at every turning, during every season. Just submit yourself to God's continuous correction again and again and again. And all these other things that we desire, such as renewal of the mind and changing behavior and clinging to holiness, all these things shall be given to us if we just set our minds on things of God and just keep seeking him. So thank you again for fellowshipping with us. Please remember to tune in to 98.4 Impact FM for the program Words of Moses this evening at 6:30 p.m. Have a wonderful Sunday. God bless you.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.